This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Governor Baker today urged restraint for the holidays to keep the coronavirus contained. Now, fewer people traveled for Thanksgiving than in 2019, but air travel still broke a pandemic-era record. And with colder weather and more holidays approaching, Dr. Anthony Fauci, head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, worries about a, quote, surge upon a surge, end quote. How about you? Are you worried? Do you have concerns that maybe you were exposed over the Thanksgiving holiday? Are you wondering about access to testing or vaccines when they arrive? Maybe hospital care during this surge? We are taking your calls with two of our medical professionals. So call and ask away. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So joining us now on the line is Dr. Helen Boucher, Chief of the Division of Geographic Medicine and Infectious Diseases at Tufts Medical Center. Dr. Boucher is also a professor at the Tufts University School of Medicine. And Dr. Joshua Barocas, Infectious Disease Physician and Assistant Professor of Medicine at Boston Medical Center and the BU School of Medicine. Welcome back to both of you.
Thanks so much.
Hi. Nice to be here.
Great to have you. So 5 days out from Thanksgiving now, where despite public health pleas not to gather or travel, and some didn't, many families still did. And the 7-day positive test average here in Massachusetts is at almost 4%. How bad are these numbers, Dr. Boucher, and how much worse are you thinking they're going to get?
Well, Tiziana, we are very concerned about the numbers that we're seeing. And unfortunately, as you point out, it's only been 4 days since Thanksgiving. We weren't in a good place before Thanksgiving, and I'm afraid we're seeing it get worse before our eyes. And we know that it will likely be 3 to 4 more weeks before we see the full impact of the travel over the Thanksgiving weekend.
And Dr. Barocas, this idea of a surge upon a surge, since Dr. Fauci said that on Sunday, it's caused some real alarm. We are seeing hospitals in Rhode Island run out of ICU capacity. They're already turning to their field hospitals again. What might that look like?
Well, it's not just, as you know, not just Boston, not just Massachusetts, and not just the Northeast. I think everywhere right now is feeling stretched thin. And not to one-ups Dr. Fauci at all, but I worry about a surge upon a surge upon a surge upon a surge. We've got an eviction moratorium that's expiring. We have holiday season, holiday travel, and colder weather. Many of these are just going to continue to compound, especially in our vulnerable populations.
1-800-423-8255 to join this conversation. Dr. Boucher, I was thinking this morning, I remember when PPE was the acronym that I had never heard of but was saying all the time. Those and ventilators, they were the painful shortages of the spring. With this surge upon surge, or as Dr. Barocas says, upon surge, do we have shortages of anything now that are concerning you?
Well, you know, it's a very important question. And I think that this time around, we are all most focused on support in terms of people and staffing, the ability to care for patients in our offices and in the hospital, because since the whole country is on fire, there are no temporary nurses or doctors to fly in to help us. So that is creating a different dynamic as we gear up. And it's also, as Dr. Barocas pointed out, you know, it's holiday time, it's winter time. People are, you know, taking time off or they want to, and there are other kinds of sicknesses around. And so we have to do everything we can to keep our healthcare workforce healthy and able to help care for our patients during these next 8 to 12 weeks of what is going to be a dark winter.
All right, people are calling in, so let's go to the phones. 800-423-8255 to ask your coronavirus question. We have Dave on the line. Dave's from West Roxbury. Dave, go ahead.
Hi, how you doing? So I have two things. First is a question. I want to talk about masking for a few seconds. I think in Massachusetts, we're right up there with the top mask wearers in the country. I think it's true, and I think it's like, is it 97% or some very high number? And yet our numbers keep climbing. So what are we missing about masking, first of all? And the second question is, our second point is, I think the politicians need to change their tactic a little bit. I feel like a middle schooler sometimes is being threatened with being grounded every time I hear another politician threaten me with some sort of restriction. I think people recognize what's happening here, and they've made a conscious choice to live with this. This is how they're dealing with this until we finally get a vaccine. I think that's what's happening.
Let's take it from you there, Dave. Thank you. And Dr. Brokaw, I don't know what the mask compliance rate in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is, other than I know that we're relatively high. Maybe you can take on Dave's question and comment there.
Yeah, so we are relatively high. In fact, if we look at some data that came out way back in even August and September, the country is relatively high. Most people, about 85%, say that they're wearing a mask out in public sometimes or always. So clearly, it's not just about the masks, right? And what we're trying to get across as public health professionals and as medical professionals is that it's a constellation of interventions, personalized interventions that can actually reduce your risk. And so it's not just wearing a mask out in public, but it's also really understanding if people are coming over to your home or what your office situation is like, these close circles of people where we say, you know, it's probably okay, may not actually be probably okay if we're in close quarters and can do something about it. Now, to Dave's second point, I think that that part of the messaging that we want to get across is that people do need support. And I think we need to start thinking outside. We can all start thinking outside the box of how we can take some of our activities outside, how we can support each other, and even make resources more available for people. It was so great to see the MBTA in cooperation with New Balance start handing out masks at train stations. These are the sorts of innovations that we need to make this whole thing easier on people.
Thanks, Dr. Barocas. And one of our producers is telling me that also Governor Baker said over the summer that the Commonwealth is at a very high mask compliance rate. And to underscore what you were just saying in answer to Dave, he did say at a press conference today that he continues to believe that we're seeing spreading from things like informal gatherings and even worship services, which may be places where you're seeing less mask usage, as you say. I do want to go back to the phones here, 800-423-8255. We've got Susan on the line, also from West Roxbury. Good day for West Roxbury. Susan, go ahead.
Hi. I was wondering, is there any way that my daughter and her family can drive from New York and prepare in advance to visit with me for about 7 to 10 days? We were thinking that we're all pretty careful. We wear our masks. We only visit outdoors with masks, and we only go to grocery stores. So we were thinking if we all do that for about 8 days and then take a PCR test, would that make it fairly reasonable that we would be safe together?
Susan, I'm going to turn to Dr. Boucher on this. And Susan, stay on the line, please, in case Dr. Boucher wants any more information from you. Dr. Boucher, go ahead.
Sure. So hi, Susan. I think that the strategy you outline is one that will reduce the risk of getting together, but there's nothing that can take away the risk entirely. So this is a virus that is very, very good at getting around and finding the weak spots. And so, you know, even a 14-day quarantine with a test before you travel will not make the risk zero. I think that the strategy you outline will decrease your risk. And so every family has to think about the amount of risk that they're willing to accept in order to get together in person.
Thanks for that, Dr. Boucher. I'm going to go back to the phones again here, 800-423-8255, to ask your coronavirus question of Dr. Helen Boucher and Dr. Joshua Barocas. We've got Arlie on the line from Newton. Arlie, what's your question?
Hi. So my husband is a high school teacher in Newton, Mass. And, you know, the city, the high schools have been all remote in Newton until now. And, you know, obviously the city wants to try to figure out a way to get people back in. And the teachers are supposed to go back starting this week, and students are supposed to come back in about a month. And I'm just wondering sort of how the fast changing dynamics of this. And when you talk about surge upon surge upon surge in the next, you know, month or two, what you think about that.
Dr. Barocas.
Yeah, I know that schools are a really, really hot topic these days, both for educators and for parents and for students. So there are a couple things to keep in mind. The first is that when we look at the data across the state, the numbers in schools are relatively low compared to the rest of the community. And this is really good news for both, for all parties concerned, right? Because we know that school districts have been implementing new ventilation systems. They have been outfitting both teachers, staff, and students with masks, and in some cases with face shields or goggles. And I think that a lot of school districts are now turning to, well, how can we make sure that there's appropriate testing going on? So I want to go back to my initial comment and to those of Dr. Fauci, who I greatly respect, and say, just because we see, you know, parts of society, parts of the country going into surges, that doesn't mean that it has to be this way. It means that, and as Dr. Boucher mentioned, as long as we can do all of these things in whatever setting it is, whether it's in a school or in your home or in your office, to improve your ventilation, to make sure that you're masking, to make sure that you're keeping distance, then all of those things decrease your risk, and it'll decrease the risks for teachers. It'll decrease the risk for students. But I do feel like we're headed in actually a very positive direction when it comes to schools based on the data that we've seen coming out over the last couple months.
1-800-423-8255. We have Victor on the line from Bedford. Victor, go ahead. What's your question?
Hi, I have two questions, and they both have to do with the vaccine, with vaccines and their availability. The first is, I know that the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines are showing a lot of promise, and I think Moderna is showing like 94% efficacy. I was just wondering, from the point of view of the clinical trials, given that everyone is social distancing, how is that being taken into account? Like, you know, is that, you know, if folks are not getting the virus, is that partly because they're social distancing, or like how are they sort of vetting that process? And I guess the other question is, when vaccines become more readily available, given that I think we're going to have a choice of different manufacturers, is it reasonable to be able to shop around at that point and ask our medical professional or doctors or ask, you know, if we want one of those vaccines particularly?
Thank you, Victor. And Dr. Boucher, I'll add to Victor's question, do we know if we will have a choice, or is the state handling distribution with specific vaccine suppliers that might limit that choice? So lots there for you.
Okay, well, let me take a stab. So in terms of the vaccines, both the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine trials had as their endpoints COVID disease, so people being sick with COVID. And the measurement of those illnesses is what led to those efficacy numbers that we saw of 94 and 95% respectively. We also saw that it prevented serious, severe COVID as well. So if this proves true, after the data is reviewed by the FDA and their external advisory committee, which is going to happen on December 10th and December 17th respectively, then we can believe that these vaccines are effective and safe. So that is good news. And if that bears out, that will be game changing for this disease. In terms of which vaccine, it is true, as Tiziana pointed out, that the vaccine will be distributed by the government to the states and then to us at the hospital level to administer according to the prioritization that is agreed upon by the state. The state will likely follow the CDC's guidance, and the CDC advisory committee is meeting right now to talk about that. And I think that both vaccines may be available. And my personal advice and what I will do is take whichever one I'm offered as soon as I am offered, because I think for all of us, the most important thing is getting vaccinated.
And to be clear, both of those vaccines, Dr. Boucher, they require a shot and then a time period and then a second shot, correct?
That's correct, Tiziana. One is separated by 28 days, one is separated by 21 days. And you'll need to get two doses of the same vaccine. And we're making arrangements to make that as easy as possible for everybody.
Let's get another caller in here. We've got Debbie on the line from Lowell. Debbie, what's your question?
Hi. I take care of my in-laws. They're 88 years old. I haven't taken care of them since they got back in the country this summer from Portugal. So they've basically been the only people, like me and my family, the only people that they see. We always wear a mask when we're around them. I always make sure they wear a mask when they're in my car because I bring them to all their doctor's appointments and everything. And I'm just trying to make sure that with everything I do for them, that I'm doing the most I can to keep them from getting COVID, just because, you know, they have a lot of underlying health conditions. And really right now it's either doctor's appointments, which some are in person, some are not, and the grocery store. So I just want to make sure I'm doing the best I can for them until they can get the vaccine.
Okay, Debbie, thanks. Dr. Barocas, your reactions to Debbie there.
Yeah, Debbie, first of all, anybody that is caring for someone these days has a monumental task, and you have my great applause, because it's not easy. What it sounds like is that you are doing everything that you can, right? So we want to make sure that everyone that you're in contact with, that people that you might come in contact with are wearing a mask properly, that it's properly fitted. And all that means is that it's over your nose and your mouth. We want to make sure that you are, as best as possible, staying six or so feet away from them, and that their contact, that your contact with other people, that your bubble is as small as humanly possible. And I know that that's hard, but places like the grocery store, we have to go to. When we go, let's make sure that we use hand sanitizer, that we have masks, and that we spend we don't dawdle and spend as little time in these sort of public places as possible, because not only does it prevent us from getting sick, but it also protects our community. So the less time you or your family spend in the grocery store is less time that perhaps you might be exposing some random person in the grocery store to an asymptomatic disease that you actually have. So it sounds like, you know, to answer your question more pointedly, you're doing everything that you can. But please know also that the vaccine is another layer of armor. It's not the end all be all. To end this.
Dr. Boucher, in our last 30 seconds or so we are headed into another holiday season and an end of a semester where college students are going to come home if they're not home already. What's your top advice that you would give people right now?
Well, Tiziana, right now, the most important thing we can do to protect ourselves and our family is the mitigation work that we know is effective. So that means wearing a mask anytime we're with anyone with whom we don't ordinarily live, washing our hands frequently, maintaining that 6 feet of distance that Dr. Barocas talked about, avoiding crowds, and not going to work or school when we're sick. This is the hard work we have to do as we get through this next 8 to 12 weeks, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
And that's Dr. Helen Boucher of Tufts Medical Center and Dr. Joshua Barocas of Boston Medical Center. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.